Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey. Sure what episode it is, but we know what we're talking about, and that's the main thing. We're talking about endings. Well, endings to novels in particular. Mainly because it's a struggle I've had recently. So,
well, hello. Hello everyone, and hello Lucinda. I'm interested first of all to hear why you felt you were struggling.
I'm fine with ending a novel, but it's the end of a series. So it's a trilogy, and book one and book two all have characters. So book one has the characters, and then most of those characters go through to book two, where I add a few more characters, and then yeah. I'm left with a big muddle to tie up in book three.
And so is the difference that this is the end and there'll never be another one, or do you want to keep it a little bit open to other ones?
It'll definitely be a little bit open. It's just the number of characters that needed a resolution, I suppose, that's been quite difficult. I've some sympathy with George R. R. Martin, because I think he did the same in Game of Thrones, which is why it took him so long to do his next novel. Or when they tied up the series, there were still a lot of loose ends because there were so many characters. And I'm trying to avoid that.
Well, I was just thinking about that, because what I was thinking of is you don't have to tie up all the loose ends. If you get a completion of one of the stories, the main stories within the story, that might be enough. So is there a clear second plot in the story?
Well, each of the main characters have got character arcs, so I've got to have a resolution to some degree, not necessarily totally, but to some degree of all of them. So, and that's been the struggle, really.
I'm wondering whether you should pick one subplot story and complete that rather than trying to complete everyone's.
They're all intermingled. So I've got lots of ideas. It's just actually pulling it off without plot holes.
I'm
ticking all the other boxes, you know, having a unique but surprising ending and for it not to be too obvious, and also to tick readers' expectations. And my characters aren't always well behaved, as in they don't always do what I want them to do, because it's fit.
Well, what would you say in your genre is the expectation? Because in a romantic book, it's often that the two main characters get together in the end. What do you think it is for your genre then?
So the genre is space opera, but if you boil it down, it's essentially a thriller.
Yeah.
So you've got to have a big scene at the end, you know, where your protagonist confronts your antagonist and it's some sort of battle. So you've got to have that in there. Otherwise, people, I think, would be quite disappointed.
So that's like the main storyline has a great confrontation.
Yes.
And then a resolution.
You know, in your final, in your third act. Yeah. And I was hoping to have a bit of a romance going on, but my main protagonist isn't very keen.
I think I know what you mean about that, because we talked about it before.
Yeah.
Not for very long, but we did. Yes, so I think I know what you mean, because I was thinking about endings in general, in life as well.
Oh, yeah.
If that's not making it too complicated. But also in my favourite books. So one of my favourite books is a sort of romance with a twist. And you know what my favourite book is, I think. One Day by David Nicholls. Yeah. But also I really like a book called Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. Have you heard of it?
I don't know whether you've told me about
it. I might have mentioned it. It's by Gail Honeyman, and it's set in Glasgow. But I was thinking of that because I thought that was a beautiful ending and a very good book. And it's apparently Americans call this uplifting literature, uplit.
I quite like that.
I quite like that. I'd never heard it until recently and I read it. Anyway, it's that kind of a story where the character's development is the main thing. It's not just a romance. It's not. It's certainly not a thriller. What it is a story of a person's development from being very, very inward to more outward, let's say.
Yeah.
And so the ending is just that. It's not a culmination in a crisis not at the very end. It's a resolution, but it's more an inner resolution.
Yeah. I've got an element of that in there, as in who the protagonist is, the main protagonist, and where she starts from and where she ends up. There is an element of that in there. I suppose people would be very disappointed if they read space opera and there were no, like, battles and stuff.
No, I do get what you mean about that. I just meant sometimes it focuses the mind to think you don't have to end every single story or bit of a story or every single character's journey. You may be able to just bring something full circle. Is there something you can bring full circle that's full circle in all three?
Well, I'm going to do a spin-off series for one of the characters, or a couple of the characters, but one of the main characters. She's quite an interesting person. So I just wanted, but she's got to be in that final scene because she's been such a big part of book two. That, you know, to miss her out totally. I don't think she needs a particularly big role in it, but she needs to be there to be acknowledged and to just have some sort of ending. But she doesn't need a big ending because I'm going to go on and write about her. So she'll have her own kind of arc.
Right.
From that point of view. But yeah. So when we said we were doing endings, I wasn't anticipating we were going to be talking about my endings in particular.
No, well we don't have to. It was a way to start. I mean, maybe if we talk about it more generally, something will help you with your ending. Who knows?
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of books I've read, instead of ending with the ending, they start with the ending. And then the kind of development, if it's a mystery, for instance, they start with the dead body, and then the story is kind of working backwards to how that happened, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few like that. And actually, there's even an element of that in One Day, in that he does come back to the very first time they met right at the end. The characters. I don't want to say any more because it gives away too much of the story.
What I don't like is where you know what happens. But you know when you say you start with a dead body, so you know someone dies, but actually the story isn't about that, is it? The story is about uncovering who killed them, or maybe uncovering the story. Quite often there are other elements in there, such as the detective, the story about the detective or whatever.
Do you know
what I mean? So I don't mind that, but I don't like to know the end before I start because it takes something away.
And that's partly what can be a danger with romantic novels, because you know that pretty much the him and her get together at the end.
Yeah.
So sometimes the writer has to have a way of making that more interesting. Certainly some kind of drama that means they nearly don't.
I think anything that's been done 1,000 times is a challenge to do in an innovative way. And I think that's why I'm struggling so much trying to do it in an innovative way.
Yeah.
That's the difficulty, isn't it? And that's the same with romance.
I what it made me think when we were going to do endings was, I partly do know my own ending of my story, but that may change, of course, because as you know, I planned it out in a diagram, so I kind of know. But I started thinking about real endings, as in our lives as well, because I thought that might help with something different. So I'll tell you what, one of my famous mind maps is here. So I put my glasses on. So I'd written down some things about endings that we have. Well, there's happy ever after was one, and lots of positive things like joy and hope and exciting things, renewal. And I thought of the Bible, resurrection, someone dies and then comes back to life. And that was a bit, in modern life, that's maybe where the bit of a cliche, but when one door closes, another door opens type of idea.
It is sort of true, that, though.
Yeah, it is, yes. And when a chapter ends, there's usually another opening, another chapter. And then I was thinking, sometimes endings are just perception of ending rather than actually ending, if you see what I mean. And so I was pondering all these kinds of things, including the strategy of ending your book with, starting your book with an ending. And I was thinking about that you either can have an unexpected sort of ending or one with a twist. Expected, but with a twist. Now, I would call that a romantic ending, for instance, with a twist, is one where it doesn't quite end with the happy ever after thing, but it might end up with what I was talking about, a renewal or a completion of some sort. And I was thinking, what else about endings? Loss. When we get to endings of things, we generally associate it with loss and grief and mourning and things like that for the end of whatever. So then I was pondering all these things and how that would impact on my story or my ending of the story I'm doing.
I think the other thing is the false ending. A lot of thrillers have a false ending, you know, where you think you've killed the antagonist, you've save the day, and then he rises up out of the water. I remember in Cape Fear, you're like, just die.
Yes, but it depends who it is. I mean, if it's Jason Bourne, you want him to come back another day, don't you?
Yes, that's true. But he's the protagonist.
Yes, true. Although, so, you know, not necessarily exactly a good bloke, but
a bit grey, a bit shady, a
ruthless murderer, but a lovely guy. So anyway, do any of these ponderations help you in any way with your dilemmas at the end of yours?
Well, I think the sad thing is with mine is that I just need to sit down and put the work in. But you know, when something's hard, you try and avoid it. I'm at that stage. Well,
maybe there's even deep psychological things, like when you do the ending, it really is an ending for you.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, it's definitely not that one. I just want it done.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I bet it could be a little bit of self sabotage as well.
Well, my protagonist can turn up in the other book if I feel that bad.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not that. So let's think. I think it sounds like, from what you said, if I was a doctor, I would diagnose that it's that thing of trying to be so clever and original with your ending that's causing a problem. Maybe it would work to write three different endings.
Yeah, because I'm that much of a masochist that I need to do it three times.
Yeah, well, it might be better than sitting there scratching your head for weeks.
I've done some proactive work.
Have we got anything sensible to say to anyone else, do you think? Like, What do you think they would say on the internet if we looked at that? I did look at it, but I've forgotten.
Hang on, I made some notes. So your ending is in your third act. So your middle bit is your biggest bit, isn't it? So it's like a quarter of the novel. So it shouldn't be that challenging. But quite often there's a big reveal in there.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's a kind of internal struggle where they find out what the mental block is, or whether it's, you know, finding out that the... I'm thinking of Star Wars, where you find out that Luke Skywalker's father is Darth Vader. So you've got that big reveal thing quite often. What else?
That was a pretty big one, that one.
Yeah.
Bridget Jones.
You see, Bridget Jones was a romantic, wasn't it? So they had to get together, but that was done really well.
It was, wasn't it? There's that awful bit where he reads her diary and she thinks he's gone forever. Do you remember in the film? It's very well done in the film. I've read the book, but it's well done in the film where he goes marching off into the snow.
Setting up the ending. So when you've I suppose it's all right if you stick to the same ending, and if you plan out your book, if that's how you roll, then maybe you can set it up as you're writing it. But quite often you do that in the editing phase. So
I guess the advantage of being a planner is you might have finished off some of the other mini stories quicker. So you didn't have them all tied up, all needing to be tied up at the end.
Yeah. The problem I've got with that, though, is that they are all in it. Do you know what I mean? So they're all kind of involved in the battle, if you like, to some degree. So it's hard to tie up anything until you've had the final battle. But then you don't want it to go on after that, because people have had what they want, and
if it was a real battle, like I'm thinking something like a real ancient battle, then you don't want all the characters to die at once, do you? On the field.
I was going. So you know, I said about having a love interest. I was going to kill him off, and then I thought, because that would be an easy answer if he died, you know, and all this. And then I thought, people are going to hate me if I do that. And it's kind of like the easy answer. So I haven't killed him.
Well, the thing is, would his death be credible, though, as well? Does it kind of suit the character that he should come to a sticky end?
I could make it credible.
Yeah. Well, if it's credible, you maybe can risk doing it, because you're not writing a romantic story.
No. But it depends whether people like him or not. Sadly, my protagonist doesn't like him enough, but he's not a character that you would dislike. But anyway, we'll see what happens to him.
We'll see what you decide. What else did you find on the internet? Anything else?
I didn't look on the internet. These were just ideas. I probably should have looked on the internet and done some homework.
Well, I looked on it, and for anyone who's listening, there is a lot about this sort of thing. You can just put in how to end a novel, amazingly enough, and you'll get loads of different ideas on the subject.
Perhaps that's where I should have started.
Well, yeah. It's possible, but your chances of coming up with something clever and original are probably greater when you haven't looked at it all.
Yeah, you can overthink things too much and then be paralyzed by trying to fit everything in, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you think of good endings as well, they may not be that complex. Sometimes they're quite simple.
Yes, true. If only.
Well, case in point is the Bridget Jones story where he goes marching off to get the diary and she thinks he's gone forever, but he's just gone to the shop.
Oh,
and then they have a great big hug in the street, if you remember.
Yeah. But Bridget Jones, yes, that bit of it's simple, but it's also not simple, as in he kind of, he saves the day with her, doesn't he? So he gets to that interview. Can you remember?
Yes.
He gets to the interview, doesn't he? Which, with his client, because he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And so what he does is he sets up the interview, which basically says that he respects her professionally.
Mm.
So he respects her on a certain level, not to mess up the interview with his client, which is an exclusive interview, which saves her career and kind of it proves his love, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's willing to take that chance.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's true, but that's in the middle of the book, isn't it? Not right at the end.
It's towards the end, yeah. That's the point where she realises that she might have a chance. And then she thinks he's going to America, doesn't she, with that?
Yeah.
With his colleagues.
With the other woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she thinks there's no chance and it's all over until he turns up at her house. Yeah. It's quite sweet.
So why I'm saying that is I think that maybe the respect thing and the bit you're talking about where he shows he isn't just chasing her in his mind for lightweight reasons, but it is quite a way back from the end. So I think the writer has set it up well before.
Mm.
So it doesn't have to suddenly come into the ending bit, which in itself is fairly fairly quick and fairly light in a sense, because her friends are all wanting her to get in the car, aren't they? Because she's been moping, and they say, "Let's go on, go somewhere," and they want her to get in the car to go to France, and then he turns up.
Yeah, well, she makes that announcement, doesn't she? Where she thinks he's going away. So she makes, because she thinks she's never going to see him again anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. So she lets him know that she really likes him, and that's why he comes over. Yeah.
So if we were thinking of the famous thing that Laura did, which is like a mountain shape with a peak, a crisis and a resolution, would you say that was the peak?
And I think the interview's the peak, where she gives the interview. And then I think the others follow on from that, because that's the realization where she realizes that he cares about her. And then when she makes that speech, he realizes she cares about him. So then they kind of come together. And that happens right at the end where he comes to her house. But I think that bit is the final.
And even then, when he comes to the house, it's not straightforward, because there's that little blip of him reading her diary, which actually is absolutely, I think it's brilliant, that bit.
I don't think that's in the book, you know. Is that in the book?
I don't know. I've got them marvellously confused in my mind now.
Yeah.
okay. I read the book, and I just think that it's brilliant writing, but can't remember. But in the film, he looks at the diary, and then it says something rather rude about him. And so he goes marching off, and you think he's gone forever and taken the huff, you know, and gone. And then it turns out he's just gone to the shop to get her a new diary.
That's the sort of false ending I need.
It's very funny, I think. It's very, very clever and very funny. So, yes, it is. Maybe it would be a good thing to think about with your ending. Let me know if it helps.
I will do. I will do. I might have written it by the time we next speak.
Do you think this is time for us to have our ending then?
Oh, nicely put. I saw what you did there. Brilliant.
Shall we say goodbye to everyone? Goodbye. We'll see you next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.